following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Would you stand up one time with me? I want to read to you from Acts chapter 1. As I said, we're going to pick up tonight where we left off when we finished the Gospel of Mark. And we spent some time in the on the Great Commission as we were wrapping up, obviously, because there it is in the Gospel of Mark, in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of John, in a different way, very, very different way, on the Gospel of Luke, and then on into the book of Acts, and it's repeated over and over again through the Scripture. But I just had a sense of a nudge, or I guess you could say an inkling, that we needed to go where we're going to go right now. And I'll explain that to you in just a bit. But starting at verse 4 of Acts chapter 1, it says this, "And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." What geographical location do I usually line up with the ends of the earth? Huntington Beach. Because we are almost directly, if you put a pin through the globe from where Jesus was and let it come out the opposite side, it would be close to here. It would be this region of the planet. So all the way to Huntington Beach, to the end of the earth. And while he was speaking, he was raised up. Jesus got his own personal rapture as it wasn't the twinkling of an eye. It was a rising up and with people's mouths gaping open as they watched it happen. Fast forward a month or so later, 40 days later, or 50 days later, the day of Pentecost. Look at chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And there's the list of the languages. And I want you to jump to the end of the chapter and see what the result of all of this confusing movement that took place that day was. What was the end result of it all? It says at the end of chapter 2, it says in verse 46, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. But as of that day, thousands of people came in to the family of God." The first generation of just revival fire that spread in the city of Jerusalem brought thousands of people into the family that day. And so I want to talk to you over the weeks that are coming, and it won't just be me, about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Spirit. So, Father, we pray you'd give us ears to hear and hearts that are ready to move with you, maybe in a brand new way, Lord, that we would walk closer with you than ever, empowered by your Spirit. But Father, as we open our hearts to study and to consider this relationship with the Holy Spirit that's available to every one of us, may there be a rising hunger in our hearts for something deeper and closer and more powerful than we've ever experienced before. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat, please. Well, like I said, we pick up tonight where we ended in the Gospel of Mark several weeks ago, where Jesus gave his disciples, which includes us, the instruction to go everywhere and tell who? Everyone, that their sins can be forgiven. And it's a monumental task, isn't it? When Jesus says at the end of 3.5 years of ministry, you guys go everywhere and tell everyone. And it's just about, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, there were 11 of them left. So right here, this little section right here, telling that many people, go everywhere and tell everyone the gospel. That's a big job, Jesus. That's a huge job. Go everywhere and tell everyone that their sins can be forgiven. Think about it. Jesus had reached out to people in his 3.5 years of ministry. He'd reached out all over central and northern regions of Israel. We don't see Jesus too far down into what we would call southern Israel today, but in the Judean area and then all the way up into Galilee. And yes, he did step outside of Israel into Lebanon, Syria, Jordan. But here he tells them now at the end of his ministry, now you go everywhere I didn't go. Now you 11 who are not God in human flesh, you go everywhere and tell everyone that their sins can be forgiven. Of course we know that would be generation after generation after generation after them that would finally make it to Huntington Beach, would finally make it to these regions, would finally make it to the Hawaiian Islands. You like my t-shirt? Do you like my t-shirt? How many of you like my t-shirt? How many of you are jealous? How many of you wish you had a chicken t-shirt like me, a rooster t-shirt like me? Can you read it? It's from Kauai, the Kauaian alarm clock. No kidding. All over that island, because they were scattered around the island after I think a hurricane blew through and blew up the farms and the roosters and the chickens went off and did what roosters and chickens do. I was wondering while we were there, I'll bet you could find wild eggs all over that island. Not from the roosters, but from the chickens. You know how that goes. But so Jesus tells his disciples, go everywhere. And eventually, they would go into every corner of the world. And there are still unreached people groups to send people to. But of course, he said that he would go with them. He would go with us. And he would be with us in everything that we do. Whatever we did in his name, it said that he went with them performing signs and wonders and miracles. But we would do the going and he would work with us. But remember what Jesus said, just as his feet were rising up off the ground in that personal rapture, he said, wait, there's more. There's more. Not just a mission to go get this done, but the means to get it done. Means is a bad word because the means is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, working in absolute sync with Father and Son, the Holy Spirit continuing to empower people for that work. Every true Christian has reason to expect a personal and empowering encounter with the Holy Spirit, and that means you. Can I see the hands of the real Christians? I mean, you really do love Jesus, don't you? And you have every reason to expect that you can have a personal, empowering encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's not just for the sake of an emotional buzz in a really exciting service. It's for the sake of the gospel. It's for the sake of the lost in places like where? Ballymena, Northern Ireland, and Bangladesh. In Australia, Melbourne, Australia, Sydney, Australia. We have people working all over the world, in Africa, different countries in Africa. It's not just for the sake of the person who's anointed. It's for the sake of the lost, of reaching the lost, for the sake of strengthening his family that's called the church. And so we're going to take some time, some extended time, to look closely at what the Bible says about us and the Holy Spirit and our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we can put... You can put programming sometimes into the place of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have a way of doing that. We have a way of, and there's nothing wrong with coming up with methodology and ways of getting something done, right? I've just over the last, I guess about a month ago, I finished my second ukulele, building a ukulele. And I took it with me to Hawaii because I wanted it to breathe some Hawaiian air. I know that sounds goofy, but it opened up opportunities everywhere. And I would love to keep building some of these and maybe start building some on my own. But you know what I realize I need to do? If I'm going to do that, I need to set up a little shop in my garage to do that, which means a whole lot of stuff that's in my garage has got to go. Anybody want to go through my garage and just pick what you want? Yes. No, you don't right now. It'd be dangerous. And I realize that I need to set it up in such a way that if I'm going to be doing certain things over and over and over again, I want to have a pattern for that. How many of you think that's smart? I think it's wise. You save a whole lot of time. And I've seen the incredible wisdom on building jigs for something that you have to do repetitively. You know, you do that if you make ravioli in the kitchen, don't you? You got jigs, little cutters that cut them just a certain way. So there's nothing wrong with methodology. There's nothing wrong with having a pattern in the way that you do something, but sometimes our patterns, aka our programs, can take the place of the Spirit of God Himself. And we can lean harder onto our programs or our routine than we do the mighty power of the person of the Holy Spirit, whom God promised to send us. Jesus said, "I will send you the Holy Spirit." We can elevate our routine over reliance to and response to the Holy Spirit. And it's not meant to be a spooky way to live. I've never really liked the name Holy Ghost. It's fine. The King James Bible would that's how you would read it, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. I guess a ghost and a spirit are the same thing to people, but I love the term spirit just a little bit better because I just remember Casper every time I say ghost. I can't get it out of my mind. You say ghost, I think Casper. It's just the way that it is. But the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, as far as we know, is the only member of the Godhead, you could put it that way, the Trinity, that doesn't have another what? Name. Abba or Yahweh. We call them the Father, Yahweh or God or Jehovah. And the Son is Yeshua or Jesus. But we don't have a name for the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit has a name. We just don't know what that name is. And I remember years ago, Gail Irwin, one of my favorite preachers, teachers, and a good friend, still serving the Lord out in Cathedral City. But he talked about the idea that the Holy Spirit was so about glorifying Christ that the name was left out. And I don't know why there isn't an obvious name for the Holy Spirit, but boy, you know the power of the Spirit when you sense it. You know the ministry of the Spirit of God when you see it. You know how many of you have served the Lord in such a way at one particular time or another, or maybe over and over and over again, that you see something that's happened through you being obedient, and you said, "That wasn't me. That was God. That was the Spirit." And so we're going to talk about that and hopefully take away, I don't think you can take away all of the mystique about the Holy Spirit and answer all the mysteries. But one thing I hope that we can do is chase away the fear for some of being a Spirit-filled Christian. And we'll talk about that a little bit tonight and maybe more in another time. But we need to learn to lean on and follow the Spirit of God. So this series of talks, and this is why I wore my chicken shirt tonight. This series of, I won't wear it every night, trust me. But this series of talks will hopefully be a wake-up call for us. It'll be a wake-up call for us again to maybe reconnect in a way that maybe we haven't for a long time with the Spirit of God. So that's why I wore the chicken shirt, the Kauaian alarm clock, a chicken shirt tonight. And I wonder if we all maybe need a little bit of a wake-up call to return to hardcore dependence on the Holy Spirit. And one of the questions that would come in on Pastor's perspective when I was doing that, and Joy and I would sometimes do that together on Fridays, would, is it okay to pray to Jesus? Is it okay to pray to the Holy Spirit? Is it all right to say, "Oh, Lord Jesus, we need you now," or "Spirit of God, would you come and move among us?" Well, of course it's okay to pray to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They talk to one another, don't you think so? It's obviously it's all right to talk to all members of the Trinity. And so anyway, I just want to give you that absolute freedom to do that. But let me put this tonight in this way. I believe that we need to become. Now this is gonna make some of you I think we need to be more Pentecostal. Let me tell you what I mean. How many of you were raised in a tradition that you would call yourself an evangelical? An evangelical who really believes people need to hear the gospel. And someone needs to go tell them, and I'm going to be an evangelical because I want to tell them. How many of you were raised in a Baptist tradition, Baptist church? Anybody in the Baptist church came to Jesus in a Baptist youth meeting? How many of you were raised Catholics? I was raised Catholic. How many of you were part of the Salvation Army? Anybody? I wondered if there'd be anybody. Anybody ever been in a Salvation Army church or gathering hall? Okay. How many of you would consider yourself or were raised Pentecostal or charismatic? Let me see the hands. Somebody said, yeah. All right. I'm going to tell you something. We can't accomplish our mission in Christ without being all of that. I mean all. Let me explain. We need to be evangelicals who are intent on preaching the gospel, being the evangels of our time. So we need to become evangelicals. If you're a Christian and you're not evangelical, get evangelical. Ask God to give you a passion to share Jesus with other people. And you are more adept at that than you think you are. How many of you have ever told anybody about an amazing deal at Walmart? Or Costco. All right, so you're okay on passing on good news to people. Get over the fear of telling somebody or mentioning the name Jesus publicly and speaking about how you feel about him. So we need to be evangelicals. We need to be Baptists because we need to take people to the water. It was an important step. Jesus said, believe and then be baptized. We need to be Baptist to get people into the water. We need to be Catholic with a small c. Catholic just means we recognize there's one family of God. In fact, the Apostles' Creed, which was really before Roman Catholicism came along, said we believe in the one holy Catholic Church. Roman wasn't in there. The Catholic Church, it just means there's one body of Christ in the world today. So don't freak out when I say, there's a Catholic in me. Because I believe in the unity of the family of God. How many of you believe in that? I'm not talking about Roman Catholicism. I'm talking about us being one in Jesus. Salvation Army, we need to be marching to our missions. Amen? And Pentecostals, or charismatic. And now I'm scaring some of you, aren't I? It just means we need to get comfortable with what it means to be filled with the Spirit. You remember in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. He's saying, be charismatic. And I'm not talking about a certain style of worship service. I'm talking about this expectation about moving in the Spirit of God. We can't fulfill our mission without being all of that, without the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Spirit. If you're taking notes, jot this down. It starts when we're Spirit-born. We're born again by the Spirit of God. Just as Jesus breathed on his disciples the night that he rose from the dead and he found them shaking with fear in the upper room, and it says he breathed on them and said, now receive the Holy Spirit. That's the moment they were born again. That's not the moment that they were empowered for their ministry. That's the moment that he, I guess you'd say, kind of blew the Spirit into them. He breathed and said to them, now you receive the Spirit of God, and they were made alive in the Spirit at that moment, and were to be Spirit-led throughout our days. That means learning to listen to the voice and follow the nudges of the Holy Spirit as he just sort of leans you in one way. I've got a friend that just about every time I see him, he'll be walking down the street, he'll just shoulder into me and try to run me off the sidewalk. It's just he's a good friend. He's just a little goofy that way. But to learn to respond to the nudge of the Holy Spirit as he sort of shoulder checks us into someone who's maybe coming down the road, maybe literally, maybe just, you know, metaphorically. He leads us to encourage someone, to speak love to someone, to speak hope to someone, to say good morning to someone. that we wouldn't even normally necessarily recognize. So we need to be spirit-born, and we're spirit-led and spirit-formed or transformed. That's true discipleship. The Bible talks about the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God within us. And all of this that the Spirit is doing, Spirit-filled, Spirit-baptized, Spirit-empowered, maybe it'd be good to start with a simple question for us as a church. Not that any one of us here could, you know, all by ourselves answer this, but the simple question would be this: are we dependent upon the Holy Spirit in a recognizable way, consciously dependent upon the Holy Spirit, where that prayer escapes our lips, maybe several times a day? Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I need your power. Holy Spirit, give me what I need. I can't tell you how many times when I'm stepping into a ministry situation where I've been called upon, could you come and pray? There's been an emergency. There's been a disaster. And I just whisper it, Lord, I need the power of your Spirit. I need something from you, Lord, for these people. And I don't try to make it up in my own mind. I just want to listen. I want to be ready and respond as he would call me to. And you can and must do that too. Are we really dependent as a church on the Holy Spirit? Or are we leaning on methodology? Methodology is fine. I've said that. I want to say it again. Nothing wrong with programs. But do we hold them loosely as we get a strong hold on the Spirit and walk with him in submission? Are we dependent upon the Holy Spirit? How do we get God's work done? We know what God's work is. Well, Jesus told us how we were going to get that work done. Would you turn back to John chapter 14? This is going to be a little bit of a scattergun approach tonight. And then as we move forward, we'll go forward in a methodical fashion as much as we can. But in chapter 14 of John, Jesus said, I put down the wrong reference, but I know it's 14. Hang on just a second. Here it is. Verse 15. He said, if you love me, read with me if you've got your Bible open. If you love me, keep my commandments. What were his commandments? What did Jesus boil it down to? Love God, love people. Love God, love one another, love all kinds of people, even enemy people. And so he says, if you love me, then do that. Love God and love people. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him, nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now follow with me. He's going to be where? He's been with you, but he's moving into you. And he would move into them that moment recorded in John chapter 20 when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive now. He said, he's going to live in you. He will be with you, and he'll be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you and me, and I and you. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Then Judas, notice the note, not Iscariot, the other Judas, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him. Now, check this out. The Holy Spirit's going to move into you. Look at the rest of this verse. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Who's moving into you? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not grandma, but Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The wholeness of God, the fullness of God that was in Christ. Oh, man, this is almost scary to say, but the same persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, who together worked in creation, are going to live in you. I remember a well-known guy who was on the radio for a long time, and I remember one day I'm driving down the freeway here somewhere, and I'll never forget this statement. He said, now the Bible doesn't tell us that Jesus or the Holy Spirit will live in us spatially. I think spatially. I will look that up. But he was basically saying, it's not, he was saying, the Bible doesn't tell us that the Spirit will literally live in you. I beg to disagree. I beg to differ. Jesus said, my Father and I and the Spirit will take up residence in you, including every follower of Jesus, every true believer who he lives in you tonight. It's not just an idea. It's not a metaphor. He lives in you. You can't escape him. David, who says, where can I go to hide from you? You are everywhere. This is deeper than everywhere. It's here. He will live in you. He'll take up residence in you. So the Holy Spirit, that's how we get our work done. Father, Son, and Spirit. And he said, I'm sending you a helper. I'm going to give you this massive mandate to go everywhere and tell everyone, and you'll have the power of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit, the Father, Son, and the Spirit living in you as you accomplish that and you move out in the name of Jesus. A.W. Tozer, he was just about anything you can get by A.W. Tozer, you should read it. They're all pretty small books, and you'll be challenged, you'll be encouraged. But in one of his books on the Holy Spirit, he said, if you lifted the Holy Spirit out of the first century church, listen to this, 90% of what they were doing would come to an immediate halt because they were so dependent. They didn't so much have programs. They had the power and the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. And they moved as he directed them. If you lifted the Holy Spirit out of the first century church, 90% of what they were doing would grind to a halt. Well, you know he's got something to say after that, right? He said, if you lifted the Holy Spirit out of the modern church today, almost nothing would stop. And that was back in the 60s that he wrote that. And that was before a movement and a revival swept through the church. But I wonder how much of that would be true today. If the Spirit of God was lifted, do we have programs, wheels that would just keep turning and just continue to turn? I want to be that kind of a Christian, that kind of a leader, that kind of a congregation, that we so lean on the presence of the Spirit and the leadership of the Spirit, knowing that he's not going to leave us twiddling our thumbs. He's got something for us to do every day when we gather, and so much more as we scatter into the world around us. So some have learned to do church without the Holy Spirit. And if we've learned that in any way, I want to unlearn that, don't you? And do that with the power of the Holy Spirit. So the reason for this series on the person and the power and the presence and the work and the ministry and the gifts and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and our partnership with the Holy Spirit and this invasion of the Holy Spirit is two. And if you want to take notes, here's three things to write down. What I'm hoping is that, number one, we will fill in an understanding about the Holy Spirit, just like this last weekend where we discover who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do? So who is the Holy Spirit and what do we do? Secondly, I hope to increase our awareness of the reality of the Holy Spirit to the point where you, as you go throughout your day, you're not surprised when you realize, oh, God has just set this up and I get to do something in cooperation with the Holy Spirit today. So there'd be, number one, filling in of our understanding of the Spirit, and then secondly, this increasing our awareness of his presence with us. Thirdly, to raise our expectation, to co-labor with the Holy Spirit day after day after day until we see Jesus face to face. Does that sound like a great way to live your life? Just to serve him until you see him face to face? Because one day you will. Oh, I had this random thought. How many of you guys have random thoughts? How many of you usually don't share your random thoughts publicly? Yeah, I had this random thought the other day of a conversation that I'm sure never happens in heaven, because Father, Son, and Spirit always know everything that's going on everywhere. But the idea was a conversation where the Father says to Jesus, so what's going on down there today on earth? What are they doing? And Jesus leans over and he looks down and he says, well, they're singing more songs to us. And I think that congregation, I think that's a new song. I haven't heard that song yet. So they're singing some new songs to us. And the Father says, Is that all they're doing? Are they just singing songs to us? Was that a part of the Great Commission? Go into all the world and sing songs? And the church has always been filled with music. And we're commanded in Scripture to sing. But okay, end of my goofy thought about, you know, the random thought that went through my brain. But don't you think heaven gets excited when we do more than sing? Beautiful songs that move us and stir our hearts to love him more? Don't you think heaven loves it when we get caught serving him? Going out of these doors, asking God to fill us with his Spirit so that we can be a voice for him and a reaching hand for him. And do things that we could never set up on our own. So end of my goofy idea there. But the second, there's three more points I want you to write down. So the reason for this series is to fill in our understanding, increase our awareness, and raise our expectation to co-labor with the Spirit. Why? Number one, so we can move into an ever-deepening relationship with the Spirit of God. An ever-deepening relationship, a partnership with the Spirit of God, which is a marvelous thing to think about, that God would want to be in partnership with me and you, and he does. And secondly, to develop a powerful new dependency on the Holy Spirit, a stubborn dependency on the Holy Spirit. I want to hear me and you and us saying things like, was it Moses that said that? Unless you're going on, Lord, don't send us. Unless you're going with us, Lord, we don't want to go out. But we want to go anywhere you want us to. So we want to move into an ever-deepening relationship with the Spirit of God and develop a powerful dependency on the Spirit of God. And this might be the thing that most of us would say, oh, I really want that. Is number three, to enjoy a deeper and deeper communion with the Holy Spirit. And yeah, there will be those times where it's not about the work in the streets. It's about those moments like Jesus had, where he would go out into the desert by himself and he'd probably climb up some of the trails we'll climb up and walk some of the paths that we'll walk when we go to Israel here in September and October. And he would just go out there to be alone with the Father in sweet, deep times of communion with the Spirit, where he's speaking to you, and you don't have to write a book about it. It's just you and him at that moment. And I want that. I don't know if you want that, but I want that. And I want to go deeper than ever. This is not all about having frothy, wild, circus-like services. That I'm not wired that way. This is not about just having exciting, explosive services when we gather. The Spirit is not the freaky spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is not the scary spirit or the goofy spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. And we need to remember that. In fact, there's 32, I found this really interesting site online. You guys heard of Google? Yeah, I Googled it. Names of the Holy Spirit. You'll find throughout Scripture. Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit of Yahweh, Spirit of grace, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of truth, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of life, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of prophecy, Spirit of revelation, speaking about all these different functions of the Holy Spirit, ways that he directs and ways that he inspires and ways that he speaks to us. But remember this, Jesus said, bottom line, tonight, and then we're going to wrap up our time here. I'm hoping to whet your appetite to not stay away, but come back with an open heart, maybe an open notebook, but just ready to go on with God and go deeper in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you're going to receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You'll be a testimony for him. You'll speak for him and you'll serve him in ways maybe you never did before or maybe ways that you used to. But you hung up your holsters on the wall. It's time to put them back on. And I know people are really, you know, squeamish about ammunition illustrations, but you know what I'm saying. The Bible talks about arrows and it talks about the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but they're mighty. Spirit of the Christian life is not about a mere routine. It's about taking those implements, those tools, and those gifts of the Spirit that God has for each one of us and using them. The Christian life is not a routine. It's a Spirit-led revolution, and you are called to be a kingdom agent for Jesus in it just as much as I am. My goodness, if only the professional Christians, you know, I'm a professional Christian. If only the staff Christians, those who have a place in a church staff, if that was all the workforce we had for the kingdom, then we're way understaffed. Because we need every single follower of Jesus as a servant of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit to touch a world for Him. That revolution is led by the Spirit of God. And there are countless, countless great, great books on the Holy Spirit. If you want to do some homework, let me throw some names at you. I already gave you the one, A.W. Tozer. Anything you could read. But he's got a great, tiny little book called How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you know the name Francis Chan? Anybody read anything by Francis Chan? He wrote a book called Forgotten God. And it was remarkably similar to some of A.W. Tozer's books. And you could tell he had really ingested a lot of, taken in a whole lot of A.W. Tozer. And was very impacted by it. And I think it was kind of, and maybe A.W. Tozer's books, if you knew the writers that were around before him, maybe you'd see they impacted him. And he impacted Francis. And Francis has impacted us. But also Pastor Jack Hayford wrote a great book, Spirit-Filled, followed by another one called Spirit-Formed. And he was a pastor of a Foursquare church up in Van Nuys, California for years. Chuck Smith. Anybody heard of Chuck Smith? Living Water. Great book on the Holy Spirit. Martin Lloyd-Jones, Joy Unspeakable. And what you find in Martin Lloyd-Jones' books on the Holy Spirit, that's what kind of got him in trouble with some of his Reformed friends, his Calvinist friends, because he had, I think, a more biblical and not current, but biblical view of what was so clear in Scripture that you couldn't, if you're serious about expounding Scripture for what it really says, you've got to let it say what it says. And there were so many in his camp, and this is not a beat on anybody moment, but you got to let the Scripture say what it says. And to say, well, that was for those guys in those days and that doesn't happen anymore, that's a safe place to stand. But then you rob people of this expectation to be filled with the Spirit and that those gifts are still available for us to use. So I'll get to that when we get to it. And also Brian Broderson wrote a great little book on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can pick those up. You can find them online. If I said that too fast, I didn't put it on the screen tonight. I'm sorry, but you can come to me and I'll tell you about them. And if you've got some other ones, I'd love to hear your take on that as well. But the outcome of this outpouring that I'm speaking for tonight in hopes of, that you would be one of those Christians that says, oh, Lord, give me more of you so I can do more with you and for you. And walk with you, Lord, into a darkened world. Oh, it's so dark out there now. It really is. I'm not afraid to walk through the world. I'm just brokenhearted when I walk through the world. And I see the new dark alleys that people are walking down, knowing they're going to be empty at the other end of that alley. But they were promised that it would fulfill them. It'd be all that they were ever looking for. How many of you have walked down some of those dark alleys? And it didn't come through the way I was told. It just squeezed the life out of me. And so I'm just asking God to take us to a new place. The outcome of this outpouring is going to be an ingathering of souls as the gospel goes forth. But you and I don't have to wait to read all those books to find out how it works. We can today, tonight, even right now, respond to the Spirit of God and say, I'm ready to go deeper. I'm ready to come back to that expectation that, oh God, I just want to be a vessel that you can pour your Spirit into and through and do anything that you want to do in me. You don't have to wait. You can ask right now and say, God, this awakens something in me and I want more. I want more of you and I want you to have all of me. We can tell God right now, Lord, we're ready. Before Pastor Bill or whoever else gets to session number 3 of this series on the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, you can begin to respond to the Spirit of God and walk out in expectation of what He wants to do. So let's sing our songs and let's open our heart and let's be filled and let's be on mission for Jesus, filled with and led by the Spirit and obeying the Father and declaring the gospel of Jesus to our world. Amen. I want to lead you in a song, and then I'm going to have Jesse come on back out because I think he's probably got another song he wants to close with. But I just, it's an old song, and the Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. How many of you know that song? Let's sing that together. Can we stand? God, I believe it's times like this when we drop our guard, Lord. Not that we drop wisdom, but we drop our hesitation for fear of, it's going to make me weird. Lord, we don't want anything except the fullness of what you want for us. So, Lord, move us past our routines and maybe through our routines and through our programs, Lord. Let us find that moment, Lord, where you want to take us to a new place. Father, we ask you even tonight, as we open our hearts and as we lift up our voices to you, Lord, to fill us and refresh us. Yes, Lord, refresh us. But once we're refreshed, Lord, let us be refreshed with fresh power and purpose to be one of those agents that invades this world with the goodness of the gospel. Thank you, Father. So just sing with me, if you would, please. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Say to you, I really believe that the Lord has moved tonight in our hearts. And I just have this sense that some of you in your workplace and in those endeavors that fill your day up, you'll be behind the wheel of a car. with your kids sitting beside you, and a conversation's going to open that takes you in a direction with your kids it never has before. Or your kids are going to say something to you that it'll just startle you, that it'll be a word from God to you. And there'll be people that'll be coming into your office or coming into your salon or coming into your garage tomorrow, your workshop, wherever you are. And there'll be opportunities you hadn't planned. And I just pray that at least there'll be a smile in your heart that says, this is it. What do I do, Lord? And just lean into it and see what he opens up. So, Father, we're open to that. We're open to you using us as agents of your kingdom to invade the darkness of our world. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fall afresh on us. And do new things and great things in us and through us. And yes, Lord, lead us into even deeper and more powerful and sweeter times of communion with you. We ask all of that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Grace and peace to you. And responsiveness, maybe responsiveness to the Holy Spirit, be a new you, just ready to step into whatever he wants to do. Amen. Bless you. Have a great evening.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.